Hello and welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's weekly personal finance podcast where we focus on issues that affect your financial health. Term insurance premiums in India have been on the rise since March 2020, with several life insurance companies having hiked their rates. This space has seen several rounds of hikes, the latest one being in December, when ICICI Prudential Life Insurance and HDFC Life Insurance increased their term insurance rates. Other companies too have indicated that they will raise their premiums in the months to come. Now, one of the reasons is higher mortality or deaths due to COVID-19 that prompted global reinsurers to increase their rates, and this forced Indian life insurance companies to pass on the hikes to their customers. But this apart, a correction in term rates was due as premiums in India have been on the lower side compared to global markets over the last 10 years. In addition, life insurance companies have also tightened their underwriting norms in the aftermath of COVID-19. With income levels, educational qualifications, and of course policyholders' COVID-19 history becoming key parameters in the insurance application evaluation process. To understand how COVID-19 has affected the Indian life insurance industry and policyholder, we have with us today Kamlesh Rao, MD and CEO, Aditya Birla Life Insurance. Hello, Mr. Rao. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Aditi. Thank you.
It's great having you here. So, we are in the midst of the third COVID-19 wave. So, could you start with the impact that it has had on the life insurance industry so far?
So, I think the onset of COVID, you know, first wave, second wave, now third wave, two or three big things have happened. One, of course, is the entire demand for life insurance, the need for having life insurance stuck in the minds of customers. So two questions, like I said, people are asking. If they don't have insurance, the need for insurance is being felt. And more importantly, people who have insurance are also asking how much, based on what we've seen amongst all the waves. This is not about whether you belong to a particular strata of society or a particular age or, you know, how healthy you've been. And it's impacted all. So from that point of view, I think it's been one of the positives that have happened for life insurance industry. Industry grew, you know, close to 8 to 10% last year, growing very healthily at about 20, 21% this year. So from the industry point of view, I think it's been good. Life insurance has always been seen as a push product. I wouldn't say it has become pull as yet, but, you know, at least the nudges that we need to do are significantly lesser. So that's one big thing that's happened for the life insurance industry. B, I think the ability to reach out to customers the way we do right now has changed considerably. So, we had no other choice but to make sure that the digital enablement that needed to happen, to customers was really up there. And whether it is today onboarding a new customer, whether it is underwriting of the new customer, or the real proof for which a life insurance company exists is when you pay the claims, whether it's even that stage. And the kind of digitization that's available today is, you know, something perhaps that would have taken us 5 years in normalcy, but I can say that COVID has at least fast-paced that to 2 years' time. So, you know, some of those good things are up there. And we lost a lot of people, I understand, but I think it's done from good to the industry. Last thing that I always get worried about in India is if memory short.
Right.
And therefore will things, you know, go back to normalcy in a post-COVID environment. But I don't know when will post-COVID happen, because we seem to be getting multiple variants of the same thing even today. But I think this has left a lasting memory in people's mind that, you know, insurance as a savings product or at these times is important, and therefore will become a part of a financial planning tool amongst the various things that people do. I think they've found an integral place. So to me, these are three big changes that I see in a COVID environment.
Okay. So hospitalization rate and also mortality rates are expected to be lower compared to the second wave. So what's your experience been?
Yeah, so if you see the numbers, you know, in the second wave, when numbers of COVID cases were declared at 3 lakhs, 4 lakhs, the resultant mortality was significantly higher. Of the data that we have at this point of time, because we also have a health insurance company, and, you know, when you look at the similar data of even hospitalization, it's not even at about 15-20% levels of what they used to be when the second wave came in. Now, and therefore, will the mortality be anywhere close to the second wave? The answer to that at this point of time is a definite no. But, you know, one thing that I've learned during COVID is the risk of the unknown because even in the second wave happened and we got similar numbers, the impact that it had was at least 2 times or 2.5 times more than what we planned at that point in time.
Okay.
So whilst the data suggests that there isn't as much worry because the number of cases have now reached 3.5 lakhs and peak in second wave was about 4. But we're not even seeing about 15-20% of those mortality rates. Mortality comes with a little bit of lag, obviously, because hospitalization comes before. We aren't even seeing that data on hospitalization. But your question on is there a difference? There is a clear difference, but I think you'll need a little more time. If the same thing remains like this till, say, end of March, then I think the hypothesis that we are seeing right now is that the impact is only 10-15-20%. I think would turn out to be really true if we wait till March.
Okay. And over the last 2 years, we have seen a few rounds of term premium hikes across the industry. So what next now? Are premiums expected to rise further going forward, irrespective of the pandemic impact and also because of the pandemic?
So the premium increase we first saw in the group term insurance cover. So when companies buy it for their employees, we saw that go up in somewhere in August, September of last year. And anything that is going up is, you know, going up by a healthy 50% or 100%. So typically reinsurance premiums in group term life cover went up by at least 100% in August, September last year. On the individual protection business, reinsurance rates went up as late as, you know, December of last year. And those also have gone up by anywhere between 40% to 80%. And all that is getting reflected in the premiums going up in pure protection kind of product. But I must share with you that, you know, the constant battle that we've had between, say, life insurance company and the reinsurers is to say, can we cut this across different kinds of experiences? I don't want to run away from the fact that both life insurance companies and reinsurers have obviously got significantly larger claims than what they would have planned for in last year. Because the second wave hit in March and April, and therefore bulk of it was, the hit was in this financial year, the year that we are going on in right now. So there is a need to increase the premiums. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But do we need to do it across the board? Could there be an opportunity of doing it by customer segment? Because there was a distinct claims experience difference between different customer segments. But as of now, there is no differentiation. Across the board, rates have gone up. Insurance premiums have gone up and therefore rates have gone up. Will it go up from here on? My sense would be if the experience of Omicron continues to be true, like I said, by March, then this is more a reaction of what happened last year. And my sense is over the next 12 months' time, if situation remains like the way we are, you know, in the countries which are talking about managing it like a flu, and if that's the real impact we see when the next wave comes in, recovery will be quicker and hospitalization will not be required and mortality is not impacted. My sense is this will become a new normal, and hopefully what we've seen is pretty stark in terms of increase in the rates. So my sense is I'm not seeing rates going up further from here. Subject to, like I said, my only qualifying statement would be Omicron impact hypothesis that we have right now in January continues to hold in March, then I don't think there'll be further price hikes.
Okay. And could you elaborate a little bit more on reasons for increase in reinsurance rates? Is it COVID-19? Or is it also because term insurance rates in India have been slightly lower compared to those in the other markets? And is this a correction, or is this entirely the impact of the pandemic?
I mean, it's a very good question. My sense is these reinsurance rates which have gone up are actually priced for non-COVID.
Okay.
I mean, COVID has been kept as a, you know, exceptional item that happens once in a lifetime, hopefully. So if it has to be priced for COVID and COVID becomes a regular phenomenon, like I said, and mortality remains as much as the second wave, then I wouldn't be surprised if rates go up. But like I said, if the next wave that hit us right now is not showing that behavior, then this is priced essentially for non-COVID claims. You are right in the other point that you made, that even with this rate increase, perhaps we would be, if you look at our mortality rates, would still be amongst the cheapest in Asia. And maybe significantly cheaper as you compare it in developed countries. So we may not like the fact that the rates have gone up by 20-30% or whatever now. But even with that, we are considerably priced for a pure term protection product in India as compared to anywhere in the rest of the world.
Okay. Could you also talk about your underwriting strategies? Underwriting strategies of life insurers in general, how they have changed since March 2020? and it's also specifically for Aditya Birla Sun Life. How have these strategies evolved over the last 2 years?
So, two or three learnings we had. You know, normally they say different financial services, and you have any impact of a very large kind, then normally what happens is even the fraudsters get in, you know, and try and see if they can take advantage of this, because here in life insurance, unlike in NPAs in banking where, you know, CIBIL is so far significantly established, a lot of work is still happening on sharing of data and so on and so forth, which of course IIB does, and now we are seeing whether we can make that better through the regulators' support. But the things that we have learned is better analytical models have been put in on underwriting to be able to make sure that you can weed away the chances of any fraudulence that can come in. So that's one. B is between medical and non-medical underwritten policies, because remember that medical underwriting is a very integral part of the insurance process. There is a significant difference we've seen between medically underwritten policies and non-medically underwritten policies. And therefore, the increase in the premium for non-medical underwritten policies now will be significantly higher. And therefore, medical underwriting will become an integral part of the underwriting process, which was not so much true. In Aditya Birla Sun Life Insurance, we've always relied on, you know, 97% of our policies are medically underwritten on pure protection or term that we do. But in market, there are practices where there are large players who do about 30-40% of their business on non-medical. So we see that changing, not so much in Aditya Birla, but it would change for the market for sure. Also, with the pricing change that has happened, there's also a limitation to how much price increase you pass on to the customer. So it's not a fully pass-through kind of mechanism. So my sense is margins will not remain the same as they used to be at the current prices, because there's a limitation to how much you'll pass on to the customer. And therefore, underwriting norms would be more tighter around investigations will be a little more before you decide to do the policy. Higher sum assured will go through additional lenses that we put in. And today what is happening is, because the claims data has become richer, because, you know, you suddenly got 5 times more claims than what you used to get in a normal year. Obviously, it's made the data of all life insurance companies better. And obviously, IIB is a central depository and helps life insurance companies run through models on that. So, to me, the industry on that sense will become significantly more efficient. And therefore, if you are up there on data and models and so on and so forth, then I think you can be significantly benefited. So what's happened is, I mean, everybody has been hit by 3 times more or 4 times more, you know, in terms of COVID claims as compared to what we had planned. So the data has become richer, both for life insurance companies as well as for IIB, who is a repository of all that eventually. And therefore, if your data models are good, if that's something that you've built on over the last few years, and here I can say that Aditya Birla really worked on it for the last 2 or 3 years. We used that in our propensity modeling for who will pay and not pay in our premiums. So today we have models which tell us what we are sourcing, what is the probability or propensity of that to get to claims in 3 years or 5 years or 7 years or 10 years. So it has rendered the ability to make sure that your underwriting can be significantly far more automated with statistical models that can be very, very relevant and high degree of efficiency in those models. But depending on what work various life insurance companies have done, but the opportunity is there now to do underwriting significantly better than what was possible 3 years back or 4 years back.
Okay. And any underwriting criteria that you can highlight that have become more stringent in the last couple of years, especially in terms of income, health, COVID history and so on?
So COVID history, because of the unpredictability, what happens when you get COVID, I think some norms were put by the insurer to say that for a particular period, you may not even get a cover in that place. Two different kind of medical reports that needed to be submitted, assuming you had 3 months old COVID customer who had recovered, because there have been instances post-recovery which have led to mortality. So it made people who got COVID, you know, give more documents than what they had to say in normal course. You know, in group policies, normally absence of, say, leave of a guy for a particular period was fine, because everybody once in a year gets medical leave and can be unwell and therefore doesn't come to office for 3 days, 7 days or 10 days. But if that was the issue now, then that employee would get excluded on the group platform scheme unless he gave more information. So a lot got built in on more data and more documentation to be provided. So if you had that kind of instance, and in general, income brackets have now got bucketed because there has been a distinct difference in terms of claims experience on income buckets. So to that extent, more information, medical checks that are needed for becomes a little more in that bucket where claims experience has not been so great. So those are things that have happened, but more driven towards, like I said, a little bit of income, but more on medical assessment that you do of the person concerned.
Okay. Well, coming to specifically Aditya Birla Sun Life plan, could you talk about what is your outlook for FY22-23 and what are your plans for the next financial year?
So we basically embarked a plan, you know, 2 years back to say, you know, we definitely want to grow this business at about 16-17% every year. And we have been on that path for previous year, for the first 6 months of this year. And that is definitely something that we are planning going into next year too. Bulk of the other part of what we plan for is essentially on the products that we create, because the markets are changing significantly. And I can give you an example just to, so if you get a pure term protection product, you know, different products used to get created in the past for different purposes. That thinking process has now changed to say there is somebody who's looking at protection till the age of 60. So, you know, after 60, he doesn't need it. So he wants all his money back. So you build that feature of return of premium in the same product. Somebody says that, you know, I want to start a stream of income after 60 and change my protection cover to a kind of a annuity income for the next year. We build a feature in the same product. There are a lot of salaried customers who buy a cover because they have liability. And if they think that post 60, they live, then they would have taken care of that liability. So they want to drop their cover to, say, half. So you buy a 1 crore policy because you have liability and you want to, after 60, bring it down to 50 lakhs. Mm-hmm. We provide that feature even today when you buy the policy. So because your premium cover drops to 50 lakhs, you actually end up paying 30-35% lesser premium through the entire life cycle of your product. So the thinking process is changing to saying, identify a need, and then there are variants to that, and provide all of that in one product and make sure that customer can choose. So that's one. B is to make it simpler. You know, the life insurance is otherwise seen as a slightly complicated product. Is there something that you can simplify to say, you pay me 50,000 rupees for, say, 10 years, you wait for 2 years and I start paying you, you know, a little more than 1 lakh rupees for the next 12 years or 15 years. Now, he doesn't bother about which platform you built it on, whether it's a participating product or a non-participating product. I mean, you've got to change the method of your sales to say, you give me this rate and I give you this. And that's, you know, if it is guaranteed, it's guaranteed. It's not linked to the market in the first place. So I think last few years, we constantly thought about, you know, creating products of this kind. We launched about 7 new products at least in the last 18-20 months. And all of them have done very, very well. I mean, our new products now contribute to about 27-28% of our overall business. And the other big change that's happening in the market now is to say, don't start assessment of, say, if you want to sell it to Preeti, then there is some information available about Preeti, whether you are my advisor's customers or if you're my banker partner's customers. Create models which will be able to tell you that based on what state Preeti is in her life cycle, what age she is, and some information that you have, what are the ideal 1-2 products that she should buy? And you go to her with that proposition rather than, you know, starting the whole, so the data is available today to be able to do that. We now get 6 out of 10 customers actually buy 1 of the 2 propensity products that we create. Now all this renders to very high levels of productivity. Mis-selling becomes completely non-existent because you've done it basis data. So those are the big changes that we are seeing, and that we think will allow us to grow in a very good fashion, because, you know, for the last 2 years, we are now growing close to half our growth is coming always every year on increased productivity. And the balance half is only what we, you know, invest for. And that's happened because of some of these new ways of doing things. And because of the COVID environment, people are comfortable because people are buying it from their homes. They buy it from their homes. They ask for data and presentation. So that goes from one medium to the other. There is nothing that I have said which becomes a matter of interpretation, because, you know, life insurance is a product where you invest for 15 years. You get your actual money after 30 years. So it can't be something that, you know, you told me this and it turned out to be that at that point in time. Today, things are far more documented. They run on digital systems through presentations. We now have a prospecting tool where advisors can actually create their whole pitch on a platform and then just send it through WhatsApp. So, but that data resides with the customer. He can evaluate, not as much push, as much as it is a need-based assessment that the advisor is doing, and that is helping him sell more policies. So people who are not buying are buying, and people who have already bought are then buying more because they think there is a gap between what they bought and what they should. So I think these are big changes, and I always say that internally that, you know, the pandemic in a way has provided the life insurance industry to maybe achieve in the next 3 years what it did in the last 7 or 8 years time frame. So I mean, that's the size of the opportunity that life insurance companies have.
Ken, what is your product mix going to be this year?
Our product mix is by and large bordered around 30 to 32% is basically what we sell for market linked products, and the balance 68 to 70% is traditional products. And in the traditional product space, in the 70%, we always want the protection business to be roughly about 10% of that business. We do more than 10% in our proprietary business. We do significantly less, about 4 or 5%, in our banker partners business. It gives us about roughly anywhere between 7-7.5% of protection. When we started last year, we wanted to take this number higher. But like I said, there's too much changes happening in the protection pure term business right now. Prices have just gone up. So how this market will evolve, we will know the next 3 to 6 months time frame. But by and large, this, you know, 30 to 68, and within that 68, 7-8% being protection, that much we minimal do. And that's how the plan is for this year and next year too.
Okay. Okay, and then finally, what are your expectations from the budget on Feb 1st?
So, you know, I think it's a time for all that I have said and all the opportunity that I speak about. I mean, the penetration of insurance in this country is not so great. And therefore, there could be opportunities that could get created. And obviously, you can go to the ultimate extreme and create a separate, you know, tax benefit if you buy insurance of a particular kind and not club it in the overall 1.5 lakh rupees that you have. So that's one opportunity. But within that, even if it is not as drastic, I think for what's happened in the last 2 years, I think term and protection, I think, is extremely important for people to have. So A, there could be a separate category created for that. I think it can fuel the term business of a very, very different kind. So that's something that we've been asking for. Women in India are, you know, for some strange reasons, not, the under-penetration is even significantly lesser there. So if it can't be done for everybody who buys term, at least, you know, for women buying term, there could be a separate category or there could be provision that could get created. So that's the other representation that we have made. And one of the other things that is in our mind is to focus on annuity as a product, because, you know, NPS, for whatever said and done, for people who have put money in NPS are very, very happy, you know, with the kind of return that is generated over the last few years. But the fact that 24 life insurance companies or more can actually use their distribution strength to sell annuity, and whether the tax treatment can be similar or there could be a provision under that to say whether whatever special dispensation you have for NPS, the same can be applicable to buying an annuity even from a life insurance company. You can just expand the scope of annuity business in India, because whilst India is young, the fact still remains that over the next 7-8 years, I think the population of people that will cross 60 will also be very high in India. So from an annuity point of view, we constantly made representations to say that can be looked at. And whether wellness can become a, health and wellness can become also a product with life insurance company, but that's more with the regulator, nothing to do with the budget. But the prior three ones are something that the government can look into from, you know, pure expansion of insurance, and within that, I'm saying specifically for protection, for sure.
All right. Thanks a lot for your insights, Mr. Rao. Thanks a lot for being on our show.
Thank you.
With that, it is a wrap of this episode of Simply Save. For more news, views and update, do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.